Okay, we'll give our time now back to the schedule of 7-minute seminars, Wolves Waiting at the Door. We'll have each of these brethren take their place in the order given, and we will see what we can learn, starting with Brother Eric Baum.
Disrespect. It's probably something we've all thought of. It's something that we've all maybe dealt with in our classrooms. And this is the subject of this first 7-minute seminar. I bought a pair of hair clippers the other day, and as I was examining it, trying to figure out how it worked and if I was going to be brave enough to use it or not, I saw a warning label on it that said, oil before first use. And I dug a little bit farther through the packaging, and I found this little tube of oil. This was a brand new set of hair clippers. It was shiny. I could see some oil on the blades. They were sharp, or at least I assumed they were. This was brand new after all. Why did I need to take my little tube of oil and oil it before I even used it? Well, in thinking about this talk, I had to think about what respect is and what it does to society. And I came to the conclusion, and you may form your own opinions on this, but I think respect plays a very similar part in our relationships in society as that oil did for those hair clippers. Sure, the clippers would have worked without oil, and I wouldn't have been able to notice it for the first few minutes or the first few uses, but eventually those blades would have become dull. Those second or third or fourth clippings probably wouldn't have pulled too hard, but after that, I would have started dreading haircuts. Relationships need respect in order to work. We as humans do not automatically respect each other. We need to discipline ourselves to respect other people. In a classroom setting, if there is no respect, it will be very hard for you to teach your students. Think about that. If you don't sense respect from them, do you put as much effort into your lessons, into prep, into teaching? It's hard, isn't it? If they sense disrespect from you, they are going to find it very difficult to listen to what you are teaching. There's going to be a barrier between them and you. Whatever you say to them will bounce off that barrier. Now, we don't have a lot of time, so we're not going to talk much about disrespect outside of the classroom. I wanted to keep it fairly focused here. We've established that disrespect is something that we don't want in our classroom. It creates that barrier. We've established that respect is necessary in order to have properly functioning relationships. Now, how do you go about getting rid of the wolf of disrespect? Think about this. Do wolves get big overnight? No. A wolf starts off as a very small pup, and it grows a little bit each day. Disrespect is the same way. It starts off in very small ways, and every day it gets a little bit bigger, and a little bit bigger, and a little bit bigger. To avoid disrespect in our classrooms, to have respectful relationships between our students, between your students and you as the teacher, between co-teachers, between board members, between anyone who has a relationship with someone else, there are a few points that we need to think about. First of all, follow the golden rule. Treat your students as you would have them treat you. Remember, they are human beings as well. Yes, they make mistakes. Yes, they are hard to teach some days. But you were a student as well. And if you asked your upper grade teacher what you were like when you were in grade 7, were you the model student? I know I wasn't. Respect your students, and they will respect you. Be very aware of how you talk to and about your co-teachers, your school board, your church, and the government. If you show disrespect in the way, in how you talk about a government policy that has been put in place, or a board decision that you don't necessarily agree with, or maybe another teacher's method of doing something, your students will pick up on that, and they are going to start talking the same way you do. Talk leads to actions. Disrespectful talk equals disrespectful actions in the long run. At the beginning of the year, I like to go over the rules and procedures for my class. I've got a little list of them. I have it typed up and I print it out at the beginning of the year. Most of these things are things that my students know, but it's good to review them. But we need to do more than that. You need to also enforce the boundaries and rules that you have in place. If my students know that they may not exit the classroom, or if the rules say they mayn't exit the classroom without asking permission, but somebody does it once and Brother Eric doesn't notice or he doesn't say anything about it, well, it's going to happen again, isn't it? Now, to stop that, have your boundaries and enforce them. Students will respect boundaries that they know are there for their good. Another thing that I think often comes out as disrespect in the upper grade classroom, and maybe before we go into this one, I feel that disrespect is probably a bigger problem in the upper grades than in the lower grades. Now, please don't get me wrong. I know it's there in the lower grades, but maybe it's easier to deal with, and this is probably partially why. At some point in an upper grade student's life, they will begin to feel the call of God. I don't know exactly when. It comes different times to different students. They may not recognize that call. They may feel like their parents and their teachers are out to make them feel miserable because that's the way they are feeling. And they respond to that in the only way that they know how. They lash out at their parents. They lash out at their school teachers. They make life miserable for them because they feel that we're making life miserable for our students. I don't have a lot of experience with upper grade students. I haven't taught that many years. And I do not have all the answers. But one thing that I have observed, both in being an upper grade student myself and teaching them, is that harsh disciplinary action to a student like that is counterproductive. Sit down and write out this verse 50 times. That's going to do a whole lot less than taking the time to sit down with that troubled student. Get in the desk beside them, sit down on their level, and say, "Look, Johnny, I feel like your attitude toward school is not what it could be. I feel that you're showing some signs of disrespect towards me as your teacher, towards your fellow classmates, towards school life in general, and that just doesn't contribute to a healthy classroom atmosphere. I would like to encourage you to work on changing. I know you're working through some things in your life right now, and I want to tell you that I care about you." And tell them that you're praying for them. That will do a whole lot more good than writing out a verse 50 times. I can assure you of that. Many times, a student in the upper grade class is lashing out at God, and his teacher gets in the way. Be mindful of those situations. Remember as well that your classrooms are the developmental grounds for children. What the behavior patterns and the thought processes that they pick up and absorb and develop in school are going to be the thought patterns and behaviors that they take with them throughout life. We are training tomorrow's workforce, tomorrow's parents, tomorrow's leaders, and most importantly, tomorrow's church leaders. Are our respect levels where they need to be? I would like to leave you with Ephesians 6 verse 4, and this is a paraphrased version of it. "And ye teachers, provoke not your students to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord."